Happy Friday, everybody. Mariah Asymmetry Podcast in the house. Had an awesome session with Lime and Kendall. Most of you guys know Kendall from the live stream or from any interaction you've had with Mariah via email, because pretty much Kendall does it all for Mariah. She's came on actually as our written content producer, because she's a tremendous writing. You've obviously read her blog posts, or anything that represents Mariah visually or in the written word is produced by Kendall. But very cool to get to sit down with Kendall and Lime on a Friday and sort of put a nice cap to a very long and arduous week at Mariah, dealing with all the challenges that we face. And just interesting to see, and really wonderful to get to spend time with this crew that that makes up the Mariah family, and the eclectic nature of the community and the people that that are constantly working to elevate bonsai as an art form. It's always so fascinating to talk to the crew on a one-on-one basis or as a group, and get to experience all of those components that everybody pulls on in their own personal lives that contribute to their work and their interpretation and connection to bonsai. And again, just really positive, uplifting podcast, and awesome to get to sit down with these two in the Mariah studio on a very, very warm, wonderfully sunny Friday afternoon. Enjoy, and we'll catch you guys next time. You want to know one thing that has made my day far better today?
What?
Hanging up wasp traps and watching all those fucking wasps climb in there to their death. There's so many dead wasps in the bag. Right?
I saw you like skipping over there to like hang one up.
Oh yeah, it's just like, oh, bitch is gonna die. That's a death bin right there on the weeping beach.
Oh my god,
in front
I see so many
house.
Of them right there.
Dude, yeah. I put that out and they were swarming me as I was hanging it. Yeah.
What a.
It smells like dead meat, raw meat. Like,
oh,
or like
I was gonna say,
meat.
How do they attract?
Yeah, it's
them.
The scent, and they just freaking swarm that shit.
I mean, is that a good sign of like a good ecosystem?
I mean, so like bees are typically a good sign of a healthy ecosystem. I've
wasps,
never heard of
or
wasps.
Or the rotting flesh somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean,
dude.
Maybe, yeah. I feel like wasps probably do something positive for the world. I don't know what that would be, though.
They like to bite your ass.
I think they
fuck some insects up. I think they fuck some other insects up.
It's possible. Yeah, I think they definitely screw up bees. They get inside beehives and just wreck.
Are we
beehives.
Recording now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I can't censor myself on this.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
Nobody even cares.
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean,
I'm
like,
sure some people do.
I doubt
that. I keep it pretty high and tight on the live stream,
yeah,
but
you're pretty clean.
I honestly curse like a sailor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a dock worker.
Yeah.
Like
not
dock,
even a sailor.
Like a dock worker. No.
Good to know that it's okay.
It's this. This is
I don't know
safe
that I've
space.
Ever cursed in a podcast,
we're
but
in the, we're in the
feel pretty
trust
loosey-goosey
tree.
Tonight.
We're in the trust
your
tree.
Your podcasts have been pretty diverse.
What's that?
In their range of... I think
the Mariah podcast.
Yeah,
the Mariah podcast is possibly my most favorite thing that we do.
Yeah,
I get why Joe Rogan podcasts like two or three times a day now.
Yeah,
I mean, it probably helps that he gets paid every time he podcasts for advertising and promotion. Like, I don't know what that feels like. I'm sure it feels great. I don't anticipate that becoming a part of this. But if
could you imagine like them interrupting, being like. And it's like you pre-recorded being like, brought to you by.
Yeah, right.
And you're like talking about some tool that you use,
absolutely.
But you don't fucking use it. But
Joshua
you're getting a
Roth's, yeah.
We got our underwear.
Pruning shears. The metal is superior. The
Bio
edge stays
gold,
sharp.
The best in the business.
Going to be fueling your bonsai for centuries to come.
I listen to a lot of podcasts and I hate the ones where if they do the ads and they actually act like they use it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You're not fucking using this. Like, mm-hmm. Let's just be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always wonder.
But you know one that does get me is Roman Mars. When he talks about article, I'm like, damn, I bet those are really nice tables. Yeah. Like, he makes it really believable.
Roman Mars is so
Roman
freaking
Mars
good.
Roman Mars is really, yeah.
He's so good.
I don't know how his voice is so, it's so nice.
Magic.
It is
I
really
I could listen
nice.
To it all day.
I just listened to S-Town.
Have What's, you, uh-huh.
or, I just like binge listened to S-Town.
What's S-Town?
It's like a branch of This American Life and Serial.
Oh, wow.
I listened to the whole, like all of them in one day.
So they don't have that many, or that was a big day?
It was a lot of listening. It was probably like 10 hours.
It was a big day.
I haven't seen Brian in a few days, but he came back and I was like, since I haven't seen you, I listened to all of Serial and all of S-Town in like 3 days.
Wow.
I just, yeah.
Does he listen to those too?
He's listened to Serial, but not S-Town.
Brian's feedback on all of the things that he digests is just absolutely magical. I love listening to that guy.
Yeah.
Pretty intelligent dude.
Yeah.
Pretty cool dude to hang with.
He does have a lot of opinions about the content he consumes.
It's solid. It's very solid. Yeah. Even if I don't agree, I respect
his
position.
Which is good because I do too about everything, I think.
Do you consider yourself opinionated?
Definitely.
I'm just curious.
I mean, we all are.
Huh?
You better be. Every human being has an opinion.
I definitely range on like the higher end of the spectrum when it comes to being opinionated.
The higher level of opinionated, I would be an 8 on a scale of 0 to 10.
Yeah.
Does that mean
which can be a fault?
Does that mean you can't be debated into rethinking your?
No, because I think everyone's dumb. And I'm like, you're wrong. I actually know the right answer.
Okay,
and it's not necessarily a good trait, but
but
oftentimes like I am right. So there's that.
That'll change with age.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's actually getting worse. I'm not old, but like it's almost getting worse because I'm like, oh yeah.
Hmm.
Like it's getting worse because I feel like I do know more.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. It's shedding so much light. I actually think that you put a lot more time into forming your opinions than most people that I know.
Yeah.
And consequently, I've learned working with you that when you have an opinion, it probably means that you've spent a considerable amount of time thinking about it.
Yes.
And it's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
It's worth, like, my knee-jerk reactions to what most people say are knee-jerk reactions to what I think is a knee-jerk opinion. And I've learned that in working with you, like, don't be knee-jerk because there's probably a lot of substance to that suggestion, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. It's definitely grounded in reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why it maybe throws people off because I am so quick to be like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't really like elaborate on like, oh, there's a lot of reasoning behind that.
That, and I would say usually your delivery is just like that too. So
pretty
that's
harsh.
A little bit jarring. It can be a little bit jarring.
Yeah. I think that's definitely feedback I get. Can we not have the fans on while we're recording, or we're just going to bake in here?
Yeah, pretty much. This is what it looks like. Yeah.
It gets pretty loud on them.
Okay. It's the Sweat Lodge podcast.
Is this what happens to everybody that comes up here?
I thought Adam Johnson was going to pass out. He was like sitting a little bit farther back than you, and like halfway through the podcast, his eyes were like closing, and I was like, "Adam, are you okay?" And he's like, "I don't know if I'm just like hot or
like
what's happening." I'm like, "You're not really saying much." He's like, "Yeah, my brain really isn't working that well. Like, I don't know really what's." I was like, "Oh, geez, we're gonna
just
have
stared at trees all day and then came into the mm-hmm. sweat lodge."
Yeah, I was like, "We're actually gonna lose our first podcast guest."
Like, what's his name? Robert? Was that the author's name who almost passed out?
Yeah, yeah, Robert Moore.
When we were streaming,
he almost passed out when we were streaming.
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it was like 100 degrees in the studio that night, or it was definitely over 100 degrees, and he definitely, Arthur and I, like, I was pretty worried. He looked pretty sick.
Wow. Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Lime had to go get him water.
And was he like, thank you, I almost passed out.
He was trying to like minimize it. Cause mm-hmm. I think he's just like a journalist and was just like, I didn't think he didn't want me. He didn't want me to like bring it to the stream's attention that he like, he didn't want me to mention that he was there
right.
and that like he was about to pass out. So he was trying to be like, oh, I'm fine.
I totally forgot that he was even at a stream.
Boy,
we've had a lot of guests at streams.
Oh yeah.
That's really, it's really fun.
It is fun. It's fun. I think it's interesting for people to come We've had a lot of people who are like Mariah Live people come to the stream. So yeah. It's interesting for them to come and I think see like what it's really like.
Yeah.
And I think they realize how much the detail cam really helps
yeah.
their understanding of what you're explaining. Because I don't see the detail cam.
Right.
I just like watching you.
Right.
But then when I go back and I look at streams, I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense. What you're saying.
Detail cam
makes
is clutch.
Sense because
even when I was Josh and Hunter and I have been working on the Josh's education in bonsai. And whenever Hunter shows me like the general stream and style of the video, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, nobody can see what we're talking about. Like, this sucks. What the hell are we doing? You know? And he's like, easy, like calm down. There's a whole other camera that we're working with. So just like relax. And I'm,
who said that?
I did.
Oh, you said that.
I did. Yeah. I was doing my whole opinion thing, you know, that I can rock out.
Oh, I know
hard
about
on
that.
The opinion. Yeah.
I've encountered that.
Whew, dang.
Mr. Steel came out.
Mr. Steel.
Mr. Steel. Do people know about Mr. Steel?
I don't think people know much about Mr. Steel. I think it's an internal.
That's an internal thing?
I think it's an internal thing. You know where Mr. Steel came from, right?
Yeah. Did I say
you
that?
You called
once?
Me Mr. Steel randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think you meant to say Mr. Neil, and I was like, wait, did you just call me Mr. Steel?
Yeah,
and
that was like, when we were road tripping to
California.
Was it to California?
I think so.
Or was maybe the Oregon coast?
Oregon coast.
Oh, it might have been. Oh,
it
was Oregon coast.
It was
coast.
Oregon coast. Yeah,
that's
I
right.
think I was pretty stoned.
Yeah.
It became your alter ego.
Mr. Steel. It yeah. did. Well, just that side of me.
There is that side of you.
It's so it would be what I call your DEFCON side. When Lime goes into DEFCON.
DEFCON 5, yeah.
DEFCON 5 is a definitive Lime mode.
Yeah.
So you see it come out
where
every once
like
in a while.
He's like vibrating at a certain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That does happen when I got to get a lot going.
Yep. No DEFCON happens.
Yeah. Mr. Steel is like, I mean, there's lots of like forms of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it's just like, it's like, okay, like when you were Bob Ross and you were posing for the camera
mm-hmm.
and you were like being very like suave about it.
Uh-huh.
That's Mr. Steel.
Mm-hmm.
But then also like, yeah, when you're like in your like rage mode where you're just like mm-hmm. finding problems in everything that we
yeah.
do,
yeah.
that's also Mr. Steel.
Yeah,
this
do,
week
I
has
do.
Been a strong steel moment.
This has been a strong steel. Well, you know,
sometimes it's like necessary, but it's like that temperature meter of like, oh, okay.
We're swinging into steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the dang it. You just can't hide. You know, like, that's one thing about working very closely with a team.
Yeah.
It's one thing about working where your personal space is also your workspace.
Right.
Not a lot of hiding. And it's also, I think, like...
And when your team, like, knows you really well and we're
yeah.
all, like, really tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Just happens.
Yeah.
It gets better that we know how to deal with each other when we get to those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, because you're kind of like, okay, yep. I mean, I have my rage mode, too.
Yeah, just stand back and smile.
I definitely have that.
And do whatever I'm told.
Do you
actually feel rage?
It's not, well, yeah, I think everybody does, but I wouldn't call it that. It's more just, I get really frustrated. I think frustration mm-hmm. and like resent is like a good word for mm-hmm. it.
Flames in the eyes.
I honestly just get really quiet. Like if you don't talk to me, it's like when I'm in that mode and then someone mm-hmm. talks to me and I'm like, why the fuck would you talk to me?
Please stop talking to me. It's only going to make
How
me more
How dare you
upset.
Ask me a question?
I'm only going to get more upset from here. So if you could refrain from speaking.
I really just wanted to exist today without interacting with any humans. But then you just started talking to me. Right. So what are we going to do about this?
So there's only one solution.
Yeah.
And that's
how do we move forward?
Stop talking. Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is for me is I don't feel like... It's like an intensity that sort of sweeps across me, you know, where it's like,
yeah.
I just want...
I mean, me too, yeah.
The most concise, like short amount
that.
Of words, most concise, direct
yeah.
response so that there's no more wasted like diplomacy, you know, although diplomacy is very functional.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes it's like, hey, let's just get right to what needs to get done here.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
exactly.
This morning with the
I mean, I think it's effective, but you have to have people who also appreciate that style
yeah.
of communication. So
it's effective as long as you don't cross the line of like losing sight of the fact that you could be in
it's
the wrong.
It's effective when you're not an asshole.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally. Right. I think like the studio this morning was like, I've been looking at that studio, just an absolute fragment of,
you know, that really wears on you.
Stuff everywhere. And I really found like one of the things about working with a team for me is I really like with the house, you know, like everything's got to be kind of in order or else I can't be in that space and like organize.
Yep.
My brain is a fragmented,
right,
just garbage bin that I'm constantly trying to like organize and shuffle.
Yeah.
And when the space is like that too, it turns into total fragmentation. And I literally like, I feel like I want to just like scream.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that, but I don't think it's as extreme as you feel.
Probably not.
Yeah. I work in the chaos.
Brian's definitely like that.
Yeah, Brian and I think related on that. And I think I'm even more fragmented than he is, which I think was even harder for him to do, you know, because like,
yeah.
I would say I have a pretty high standard of like, and the weird thing is I'm not super organized. But like I need that organization, but I'm not super organized.
That is really funny. What a contradiction.
Isn't it just
of how complicated we are?
You're kind of set up for a nightmare.
Like, yeah.
I'm kind of predisposed to just be generally sort of twerked.
Disgruntled.
Yeah, just not disgruntled, because I don't feel anger, but I feel frantic. The disorganization.
It like perpetuates itself.
Yeah, and the disorganization really, it causes like a panic in me. That, and when I can't calm the panic, that when that starts to spill out, that's when Mr. Steele tends to come out and try to
seek order. I think that it has that effect on everybody, but people just don't like even really feel that. Like when you do end up cleaning your bedroom or like decluttering your house, like everyone knows that feeling of how good that feels.
So
right?
Liberating.
Just like, oh.
So liberating.
And I don't think we realize how much that stuff actually affects us until we maybe get a glimpse of it changing or, Yeah.
If I clean too much, I can't think properly. I have to have it organized, nice. I work in a very chaotic head.
Yeah.
And I put things in weird places, but I usually always remember where I put them.
I would actually argue against that, sir.
I
would say more often than not, you're looking for something that you can't find.
I do that a lot too.
And so what that tells me is that maybe you could work better if you were a little more organized.
I've tried to be really organized and come up with stuff, and it stifles me. I feel like I get stuck.
The thing is like, you can't have everybody in the world be organized.
No.
Because then we would all just be like accountants or something.
It would be such a square,
right?
Boring.
Yeah, you need both, but.
Whenever I see like, you know, like when you look on Instagram, like the architecture sites or like these minimalist homes and stuff, I always look at that and I'm like, do people actually live like that?
Oh my God, I could never.
I think
live
about
like
that when I walk up in Portland, like in the West Hills or something,
right?
Like around Forest Park, or yeah, there's some, or even just in Portland, like you see some of these houses and you're just like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, and there's just there? You like peek in because why not? Right.
I mean, because it's so tempting to.
And there's just like nothing on the walls, and like there's like.
Blows my mind.
A Sansevieria on the corner, and like,
right.
That's it.
Yeah, is it lived in? It feels unlived in. Like, is this, can I touch things? Am I allowed to sit down?
But if you walked into that space,
you would
feel
be like,
so calm.
Wow, this feels just, so nice. Yeah.
I'm stressed as hell. I walk into those spaces, I'm like, do I touch stuff?
That's what I seek for my like spaces too, but I definitely do gather items.
See, but that's the thing. Like, you see it for your space, but then like,
I seek
these,
it.
These things that like, I guess, I try to be intentional about what I add to my space.
Well, there's also a comfort in gathering, right? Like, there's also a comfort in, like, collecting items. So
sure.
There's comfort in both.
Sure. I find that it's not based on, like, the desire to accumulate material things, but, like, that a lot of those things provide inspiration or satisfaction. Like, tactile satisfaction is a big one, you know, like, that I've found. Like, furniture is just... I can't escape furniture.
Yeah, I wish that I could appreciate it more. Like, I wish I just had, like, money to appreciate
If I walked in my kitchen...
True, right? It's totally... Yeah,
like,
yeah, furniture
like,
is
oh,
off
God.
The Richter scale.
If I walked into my kitchen and my teapot collection wasn't there, I would feel naked. I have all my teapots around the kitchen, and I go in there, and it's
What's
like this...
What's your teapot collection?
Dude, it's intense.
What?
It's like a sock game. It's literally like
what?
A sock game.
Yeah, I've got... And I love it.
From where are they from?
All over the world. Some I've made, friends
have
made, potters have made.
No. People no, but if you walk into his kitchen, his teapot collection is strong to very strong.
That's so funny.
I need it, though. It Sometimes I'm confused
or
I'm very
frustrated. I've never even seen you make tea.
Oh, at home. I love to make tea at home.
Oh, you do?
I don't like making other places.
Lime lives pretty beautifully.
I'm a little messy.
His space is definitely like you walk in, you're like, oh, Lime lives here. But it's not like it's not like dirty at all.
Right.
There's a lot,
you know,
he's got like a Star
a
Wars
projects,
Lego. He's got like a cabinet of his Star Wars Legos, but they're all well displayed and organized. Like he's got a wonderful game table.
Trinkets, clearly little D and D like corner. Yeah.
Yep. He's got his like sound system set up.
Yeah.
Your house is pretty magic.
It's me. It's very much who I am.
It's tight.
Yeah.
I love it.
See, but I call that clutter because there's so many different things going on in my head. But any given moment, I sit down to them and I engage with them, you know?
Yeah, if a calm person walked into your house, it would cause them to start twitching or something, you know? Because, like, there's a lot of visual stimulation in there.
There's a lot of visual stimulation. Maybe that is a reflection of my personality. I think I am a visual stimulating.
Do you know what I thought about
the
other day? My mom, what's that plant that's in the sink right there?
Oh, that's a Monstera.
The Monstera. So my mom, I've thought a lot about how
so sick.
It's just not a healthy Monstera at all.
Yeah.
It kind of got off on the wrong foot, I feel like, from the beginning. It was like a little bit like, this is a delicate one. You were like, nobody touch this. Nobody water it. I got it. It's not doing real well.
Yeah, it's it's thirsty right now. It got burnt in that window.
The window's a little intense.
Yeah.
But my mom, I started thinking like, how did I get into plants? Like what? My mom had the most magnificent Monstera I've ever seen. I mean, it was
they're so sweet when they get big.
Yeah,
I have a couple.
And it was beautiful. I mean, it occupied a full picture window in our house.
They're just magical.
It was amazing. And I helped her repot it one time. She like laid out the sheet. She had like the system for it. Like we pulled it out, we put it in. It was like a really delicate situation because she's like, we don't want to, you know, like disturb the roots. Monstera are very sensitive. And I remember doing that. And I remember thinking, God, Mom, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I loved her Monstera. I think my sister might have killed it. And I think my mom, because like my
sister
took it. Yeah. And it was like, my mom's like, it's just kind of withered away to nothing.
I bought my first one a few years ago and it was just like a very small one. They don't get the split leaves until they get mature.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when they're young, you can't really tell that that's what they're going to be. They kind of look like other philodendrons or something. But yeah, like once they reach a certain level of maturity, they like will start to get the split leaves. And my one, this like a month ago, my one that I first bought when it was just a baby, and now it it just had its first like split leaf, and I was just like, oh my god,
split leaves!
And I was like, Brian, look at this! Like, and he was just like, what? And I was like, it's happening.
Was he just like cool?
Yeah, he was like nice.
Good. How about that?
And it's just so funny, like how like those little joys, you know.
Dude, plants are so cool. Yeah. How long ago did you get into like succulents and indoor plants? Because you go hard on the indoor plants. Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
When did that all start?
Well, my mom was never good with plants. Like our garden was always dead. Like only the zucchini would grow, you know, which because
it is Colorado.
Zucchini just, yeah. And there's just deer. And mom never really had plants inside except for maybe like a clover that, yeah. So it definitely wasn't from mom, but Brittany, my sister, got this jade in college once. I remember like going and seeing it at her dorm or at her apartment or something. And then one day we like took a trip to the nursery in Boulder.
Nice.
And she got me a jade.
That was the beginning
of it? A
little
hobbit jade. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's when I started getting really into them. Yeah.
From that point, your apartment is pretty much,
it's a jungle.
It's overrun by houseplants.
Yeah. I had to give Ricardo some of my plants cause I was just like having an anxiety attack cause there were so many plants. It was like,
we went from
my apartment
here.
Is like 250 square feet. Like right. It's so small, and every square, it's just like, it's a jungle. I'm like worried about the humidity.
Last time, so when we used my truck to move your bed the bed frame that you got into your apartment. I was like, oh, wow, she's really expanded on the plants.
Yeah.
And I figured it would probably keep going. It's amazing how much indoor plants soften a space.
Yeah. No, they're really nice.
They're amazing.
Helped out in here.
And they're just like these little things you get to, like, they're just alongside you. And I mean, some plants that now that once you get into it, like some I've had for so many years that like they just, and I mean, you know what I'm talking about with the bonsai, but you get to see them grow and change, and like you can really tune into like their, you know, like how they're feeling, or like, oh, you're a little thirsty, or like, oh, like you just see them in all their states. And then when I look at pictures of some of my plants from years ago, now I'm just like, gosh, I'm just like, I've made you rage.
That's right. Look at how I've provided.
I know.
We're buddies in this.
I know. And I think since coming here, I've like gotten more into thinking about like, oh, how could I stake this to like grow in this certain way? Or how could I, like, what do I want? How do I want to make this grow? But they're such like, they're very much in the vogue, but I think that we need them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the vogue of plants right now is the like the hunger for that connection.
Yeah.
Or at least just that like reminder / relation. I don't know. I think that's why succulents, like people are like, I can't really offer you a lot, but I know you don't need a lot as a succulent. So like maybe we can do this together. Knowing what I know about myself, knowing what I know about you.
Succulents are the best.
Succulents are pretty sweet.
I wish that we got more sun so I could have more like mega succulents. I think moving to the Pacific Northwest, a lot of my succulents didn't do so well that I had in Colorado and Montana.
Right.
So I had to get more into like the, you know, the more low light, leafy, more like tropical, like philodendrons and
I'm pretty hyped on this here.
Yeah, that's the ficus.
God, it's so good.
Yeah, and then that's a what is that? It's like a peacock plant. Paradise. Bird of paradise.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
When it gets really healthy, it'll flower.
That's
like
embarrassing.
The...
We had those all over my college, just out in the landscape. In San Luis Obispo.
Maybe I'm not saying that. It's some, they have like these crazy.
Yeah,
like,
bird of paradise.
Yeah, that's what
they
are.
It's got like the orange, like.
When it's like.
Spiky.
But there's also like a white version too, right?
Do we know what this one is?
I knew when I bought it, but I can't remember now.
I really got to up the container game on these though.
I know. It's actually pretty sad. Like that.
Plastic containers.
Well, and that like these plants aren't doing so well and we're like a plant business.
Yeah. I think this space in general. The mothership that is the office.
The pothos is rocking pretty hard.
The pothos, yeah. My version of
pothos. But those are like virtually indestructible. Like you really can't upset a pothos. That's like always my first thing to give someone.
Yeah,
if they're like want a plant, I'm like, here
you
go.
They're beautiful, right?
Yeah, and they're just like easy and you really can't. They'll grow anywhere.
Colorful.
I used to, when I raised chameleons in college.
Do people know about that?
I don't know if I've ever talked about.
Oh my god, I love these stories.
Chameleons. Yeah.
No chameleon talk yet.
No, well,
Ryan had so many chameleons in his apartment in college or house or whatever.
I went hard in the reptile phase. I did.
How many chameleons did you have?
I had 7.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I had 7 chameleons.
My sister Brittany had a chameleon.
Mm-hmm. I went.
Yeah, we killed it.
Yeah. That's kind of the general, like, chameleons are the bonsai.
We had to put a blanket over her cage. Lucy was her name. And this is, I'll be perfectly honest, this was like a stoned teenager, like found it at Petco and bought the chameleon. Like had no idea, you know, we were just like, this is so cool. Oh, I have $100, you know,
which is
kind of sad when you think about it like that, but. And then we brought it home and we're just like, oh, wow, these actually need like a lot of care. You have to like miss them and
crickets.
You have to get the live crickets and you have to. So she was fun at first, but then she would start like hissing at us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a veiled chameleon. They're very aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was really clear that she didn't like it when like humans were in the room.
Yeah.
So we put a blanket on her cage.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever we take it off, she would just like turn black and like start hissing at us.
Stress, yeah.
And we were just like, oh no. And then, and then I think she needed to like bury an egg or something.
Oh, wow.
And she died because she like couldn't like,
yeah.
she couldn't do that because we didn't give her the sandbox. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. They're just so finicky.
Chameleons are the next. I mean, because they're essentially, I mean, oh, speaking of which, when we were driving up to the border of Syria and Lebanon, not like the true border in Israel, but like close to the border, like right. still very much in a safe, like you're allowed to be here space sure. in Israel. We were just driving up this mountainous road and there's a freaking chameleon walking across the road. And I was just like,
no,
holy shit, there's a
like
chameleon.
Like just in the native? I didn't know they would live in chameleon. Such a dry environment.
So they live in deserts. They live oh. in like temperate. They live in rainforests. Like chameleons are the super adaptable. There's a lot of species. I got one called a Jackson's chameleon that has three horns, two on top and one out of its
I've
nose.
Seen those.
Right. And it's
what
tiny.
A little prehistoric creature.
It's like owning a Triceratops. Right. But his name was George. He was super docile. He would sit on my finger. I could hold a cricket and he would like latch onto the cricket, you know, with his big long tongue.
Oh my God.
Yeah. George was amazing. And so George was the beginning of my chameleon fascination. And then I started doing research and then I'm like, oh my gosh, chameleons. So I ended up in a room a quarter of the size of this, like my bedroom in college was like a loft above the garage of the house that I lived in. I had seven chameleons, and pothos were the plants that you put inside their cage because they need to be able to hide to feel safe so that they don't get stressed out.
Right.
And they'll only drink water that's running because they see the shimmer. Their eye picks up the shimmer of the water on the leaves and they can only drink it off of the leaf. So you have to constantly have dripping or running water for them to stay hydrated. So I had like these intricate systems
yeah,
that would
pour
down. Yeah,
how did you like drain
these...
it out?
Yeah, so I had these water basins at the bottom of the cages that I custom built for them, like where it would run through this mesh because they will also drown if they fall in the water. So you've got to cover the water basin so the water can get through, but they can't fall in it or they'll die.
Oh my God.
And they fall off frequently. So I had these intricate trough systems with constant running water, these submergible pumps. Like it was crazy. I had heat lamps, you know, but I used to have to buy, like 10,000 crickets at a time, and 10,000 crickets would last me about 2 weeks with my chameleons. And then you got to take the crickets. So I had like a cricket community, like in these cages, and I would have these like paper towel tubes that the crickets would hide in, and you'd have to feed the crickets this specialized food so they had the nutrients that fed the chameleons because the chameleons had high calcium demand for their bones.
That's awesome.
So the crickets would eat this special food, and I would take these paper towel tubes and I would shake them into a bag and coat them with calcium powder, and then I would throw them into the cages. You had to have special spectrum lights so that the chameleons could synthesize the calcium. You had to have heat lamps. They couldn't be too close because they would cook themselves on the heat lamps. So they were all like, my
dude,
room.
Dude, that's insane.
My room was a rainforest.
Like, that's too much.
But the problem was I dropped the cricket cage in my room twice. And both
just
times.
Filled the house with crickets?
It filled my room. So that small room had 10,000 crickets in it. And I would wake
time
up.
Time to let them out.
I would wake up in the night with them on my face or running across
that's
my
like
bed.
That's like my nightmare.
Yeah. And like it was like Lion King, you know, like just this crickets chirping at night. Just like a wee mo wop, a wee mo wop, a wee, you know. Like, it was hard, hardcore.
How'd you get, did you sell them?
I ended up giving them to a chameleon breeder because I could have sold them, but I wanted them to go to good hands. And right. like obviously I've got some issue with that. Like even with bonsai, I have a hard time just like,
right.
You know, it wasn't about the economy of it for me. I really.
No, but at one point you were like, okay, I gotta like, I can't have 9 chameleons.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like the same general trend. Like I got into DJing and then I had like, you know, MK1200s and I had the DJ
right,
M600
all in,
mixer.
All in
right. Record. You know, I was like, am I going to do bonsai? Am I going to DJ? I was like, I'll sell all my DJ equipment. I had to cross that road. I was going to, you know, I surfed for a while and then like I'm out surfing and I get absolutely, I didn't get bit, but I got hammered in the water by something. And my buddy next to me was bleeding. He had cut his foot on his surfboard. It was really murky water. It was out by out at Morro Bay, sort of off,
you think
a,
it was
away
a shark?
From the rock. I'm pretty sure it was a shark. It could have been a seal.
Did he get like rammed you?
I got rammed. Like total dead leg. My arms were up on my board. My chest and below was in the water, and I just got hammered in the leg by something. There's no reef. There's no rock. I mean, like, I just got drilled in the leg.
Oh my gosh, it was definitely a shark.
My leg, like full on Charlie horse. I was like, ah. And so I was like,
they ram their prey before they attack it.
I know. I knew. And my buddy's bleeding next to me. He's a total idiot. And so I was like, I'm out. Like, yeah. I gave my surfboard away after that day. I was like, my greatest fear in the world is sharks.
That is mine too. The ocean, actually any body of water that you really can't see underneath yourself is my greatest fear.
I was done after that. Yeah. So, but I had to sell my turntables and make that decision. Then I got into I had to sell or give my chameleons away because I was like, look, I'm not a reptile breeder. This isn't really what I'm going to do.
This isn't my future.
Right.
There's too many crickets on my face.
That's right. I'm tired of eating crickets. I like would wake up to them in my mouth and my ears and my nose. Crickets everywhere. I was like, I can't.
That is awful, man.
Can't keep doing this. The amazing thing is I had a girlfriend in college through the whole like chameleon phase because going back to pothos being so durable, the chameleons would crap in the pothos. The crickets would just run ramshot on the pothos because they would like eat the leaves and stuff. And the pothos were just like bulletproof, right?
Yeah.
But like my room smelled like a zoo, essentially.
like reptiles.
Stunk. It smelled
insects.
It smelled like a pet shop. So yeah. So essentially I had to have a, you know, like I was lucky that my girlfriend was she was like a pre-vet major, or like she was pre-vet path, I guess. So she was all cool with like the animal stench and stuff. But anyways, when I got rid of the chameleons,
that's a prerequisite.
It was a prereq at that point in time. Yeah, that was hardcore.
You got to be down with all the
scents. Definitely have to be able to cope with the smell.
Right.
So yeah, chameleons did it. And DJing did
it.
And surfing
pets like when you're younger are funny. I had some weird pets. Mm-hmm. I had an albino hedgehog.
That's right.
Named Cleopatra.
Was very not friendly, apparently.
Very mean, yeah.
Like, and you
just
loved
like
it.
The devil incarnate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Red eyes.
Yep. And my dog killed that. And then I had some guinea pigs, and they all died. Yeah. And then, not at the same time, but slowly. I had a big aquarium. We had chickens at one. Yeah, we had chickens, and then the coyotes ate them. And then.
Right.
Animals last.
I'm not really a fan of chickens.
Yeah. We had bunnies.
I recognize that chickens are more romantic than practical because you spend more money on the food for the chickens than they give you in eggs.
Definitely romantic.
Like, I'm going to go live
they're
this pastoral life.
They're
really
and they're
gross, actually.
Dumb.
I've had to clean enough chicken buttholes because their vent gets clogged. Like, I'm pretty over chickens, and it's like you owe it, you know, like you're a steward of the animal, like you owe it to the animal to do what you got. Not cool. Not cool at all. Not into chickens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that they're cute and I like the idea behind it.
It's a great idea.
But yeah, I don't know that I would be willing to, they're just really dirty. When you look at them, you're like, you're pretty
feathers,
pretty
like
dirty.
The dander, chicken dander is like
and
really
it just
hard
gets
on
really
your lungs.
Damp, you know, in the area where they are.
Yep. Yeah, and the poo really attracts flies and stuff
it's
like
pretty
that.
Gross, yeah.
Yeah, but like I used to think like I need to keep the chicken cage more like keep the dust down and stuff, but you're not supposed to keep it super moist. You're supposed to keep it very dry, apparently.
Oh.
So I haven't, you know, like Red is the last surviving chicken of the first trio, the meanest chicken I've ever
encountered. Yeah, I'm not surprised that Red has made it.
Yeah, and Boo was by far the best one and was so stupid that Boo broke her own neck chasing an insect, which was just
that's
devastating.
So
it was, I watched it happen. It was like one of the more traumatic things that I've had happen in recent times. Yeah. So chickens, I don't know. I think bonsai, I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Just bonsai. You have enough things to take care of.
Yeah. Going back to the organizational thing though, like as much as you aspire for everything to just be super organized, when you deal with plants and you deal with plants on a large scale, organization does tend to be challenging, right? It's like it's super, even the landscape around here, like just keeping the landscape kind of mildly tidy, like not trying to overly control, but just trying to maintenance on plant material is a real effort.
Yeah, it's not like a static thing.
No. And so then going back to these people's homes who have these like high and tight landscapes and like the walls are all clean when you walk inside and stuff, as much as it's like, do you live in it? I just look at it and I think, how much time would it take to keep a house that is lived in
that clean?
It seems impossible to me.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they probably have somebody.
Someone else does it.
Yeah. They're not. Yeah.
I think that's. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then it's like, oh, okay.
Like, that's not real life.
So this isn't real.
No, yeah,
this
it's not real.
This is not real. This is like curating your Instagram feed. Like, basically, somebody is curating your
someone's
daily
curating
life.
Your, yeah, someone's making you feel better by cleaning up your shit.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Like, I'm all about cleaning up my own crap. But I don't know.
And but there are some people who literally just don't own anything, though.
I mean, I'm all about that.
Who, like, there's nothing to clutter because there's just, like, not that much stuff. Brian's kind of like that.
Yeah.
He's just so bare. Like, he doesn't own anything.
It's great. You don't have... Think about how much fewer things you have to keep track of and worry about. And, like, yeah, I do envy that. I actually, when I came to Mirai after Japan, I mean, I lived in a shoebox in Japan. I was quite content. I was just like, any nice thing that you see, it's like, I don't know, I don't have money because I'm an apprentice. Like,
right.
Mr. Kimura barely
gave
me
enough
to eat.
It just makes things a little less complicated. Like, when you have space, you have to fill it. Like, that's how we are.
Right.
That's like the human instinct.
Right.
Is like
decorate.
You have to fill your spaces.
Totally.
So whatever you will expand to or shrink to fit your space.
Right.
Yeah.
I had enough of that in the Navy.
I can't imagine.
You only have a little locker to
it
have your
terrible.
Stuff.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, you got your clothes, your
sounds
socks, your underwear,
liberating.
Maybe one or two little things.
Sounds
yeah,
liberating.
I mean, that does sound nice, yeah.
It gets old. I don't know. It feels unlived in and cold.
I mean, it does feel
cold. Yeah, I'm sure military-style cleanliness or organization is
very cold.
Probably
it's
cold, yeah.
Very cut off, not fun.
Yeah.
Hence why my house is colorful.
That's interesting that you say that, because the biggest thing that I took away from sort of coming back from Japan is just like I can't tolerate that kind of coldness on a grand scale. Like as a societal sort of thing, it felt very cold and impersonal.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting to like you see that beautiful aesthetic and the minimal aesthetic of Japan. And it's like, okay, this would be great, but lived in day after day, it's like, you know, it's just like it's freezing cold. It was very very icy to the touch.
Yeah, or maybe it's just zen.
I mean, maybe they're one and the same. You know, like maybe if you can find the warmth in your soul, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like we're not really built that way. Culturally, we're not built
right.
that way.
That's
in
what
the
I was
United
thinking.
States.
Like, yeah, like I think we're really programmed to gather and to put little pins in all of the things that make us and our things define us. And
I mean, you
can feel that. Yeah.
You can make an argument that that's not good. And you could also make an argument that it's like, well, why not? Like, who says it's good or bad? I mean, I think there's like that extreme to everything, you know?
Right.
Where it's like, if only your things define you.
Well, it is kind of funny when you think about it that, like, if, since that is like a lot of our culture, like, for example, with fashion or something, like, people use that, and I'm not hating on fashion.
Sure.
Like, I appreciate style, but like people use that as like a way to define themselves per se, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like really all it is you're just like going to the store and buying that.
Somebody's rendition of a coat or a jacket,
like,
a shirt, a pant, a shoe, sure.
You're not special.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody could go and buy that if they had money.
Yeah.
It's not really a reflection of you. It's more a reflection of like a time and an idea and a culture.
I would say though, I would argue that the combination of components and how
that's
you
true.
Put them on, wear them,
and yeah, I guess in your life is what you interact with, the objects you interact with, and if they're special, that's like a good thing. But it is just funny because that's like the way that we like our objects are the way that we like express to the world, like this is here's an idea of like everything I'm into and everything I support because like I'm giving this, like it's like a shield, it's like a peacock's. When you like give the feather and you're like, okay, it's like you're letting the world know what you're about.
Right.
Which is, you need it because we're social creatures, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of interesting because everyone is so much different, actually.
Yeah, that is very
on the
interesting.
Inside.
I definitely, can't touch the fashion button at all. Yeah. Like I don't, it's not a part of my construct, but I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I can appreciate
it. You have your own fashion style.
I really don't.
Yeah, you do.
I got a pair of shorts.
Fly down.
I got a t-shirt.
Always open, holes in the jeans. Like you've got your, like Troy's got his style.
My
Troy does have
my
style.
Junk is on the verge of falling out of my fashion on a general sort of like literally it's pretty much like as long as I've got good boxers I'm solid. When that becomes compromised things go downhill because it's really I tend to let my fashion go.
Lots of eye contact at that moment.
Lots of eye contact.
Saluting each other. You guys out of here?
Josh is out for the weekend. Ooh. Wow. Hawaii on Tuesday. God, I'm envious. Hawaii on Tuesday.
That's so sweet.
That's a super Tuesday right there. That is a super Tuesday.
That is super Tuesday. I remember once Ricardo was on vacation or something and he like joined the stream and I was like, Ricardo, what the fuck are you doing?
Get out of here.
Yes, he did.
Stop. Get out of here.
Troy does it too. Troy does it too. He'll be gone and then he'll like be on the chat.
On the
chat.
Yeah, right,
Troy.
Yeah. Oh, from the Instagram?
Yeah, it's blown up.
Is it?
Is he, what happened?
It's 95%. This post is doing better than 95% of your recent posts.
Dude, people love Troy.
If you've Troy's
met,
a man.
If you've met Troy, it's just an automatic like, okay, this is a special dude.
Oh yeah.
But just like his general like addition to the garden and vibe and just quality of character is undeniable.
Definitely
undeniable.
So we're saying we should make a Troy bobblehead.
That
would be funny.
That would be interesting.
I think.
It's the first thing that came to my head.
That's definitely
work.
A line.
I forget that bobbleheads exist, but you just reminded me.
Buy them
you just reminded me that
or
that was a
thing.
Value
them at all. Not to hate on bobblehead
actually,
collectors, but.
Remind me of it, driving your car, you've got the little the hula dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I loved it the whole way. I was like, ooh, this is great. I need one of these in my car. It's great, dude.
It sounds like it's like not
safe. You out
safe.
Of here, Colton?
It's awesome. It just like sits there and bobbles next to your head. I don't know.
Mariah Crew retiring on a Friday. I'm just getting my third cup of coffee in. It's time. It's go time.
Are you ready
after
to
this.
Rock on some trees?
Yeah, I think so. I got Big Dougie down on the workshop, and I'm just for my Canon. For my Canon. Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you. Is there a charger down there? Okay, great. You've got it right where I need it. Pretty much. You know, the Mariah Crew has been very forgiving of my lack of. Independence in the technology realm. I've really appreciated that accommodation.
What you mean that you like literally can't,
yeah.
like use
I,
any
no,
of
I,
our systems
I,
that
like,
we set up
in college. I was pretty good. I was like, I'm good. And then technology took off on this. You know what really screwed me was going to Japan
because you didn't use it, and then you
I
came
stepped
back,
out.
And then you were
I,
like,
I came
what is
back,
all this
and
stuff?
I was like, what is?
Those are some pretty crucial years too, in terms
they
of
were.
Like. Actual, yeah,
and
yeah.
When I look at my absolute lack of capacity to handle technology, 6 years in Japan where I had the same computer that I left with from college, and all I needed it to do was to be able to watch DVDs on pretty much an email, I came back and I was literally like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty much toast. Like, I'm so antiquated, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way.
What?
Even in, like, yeah, I mean, even the more I learn, the more I'm like, wow, there's so much I don't know.
I don't understand how people can keep up with all of the changing trends on all of the, like, technological platforms that are a part of everyday life now. Like, social media, it's like Instagram adds a new feature literally every week. And the amount, like, now you've got Instagram TV, you've got the story. Like, you've got the regular...
Dude, Facebook's going to ruin Instagram just like they ruin their own fucking platform. Well, I mean, they're both their platforms, but they're going to ruin it just like they did Facebook. You remember when, like, Facebook was pretty OG and it was, like, the feed and, you know? I haven't used it in years, but...
It's too complex.
From what I understand. Yeah, they just, like, a bunch of nerds are just making this thing and they're not, like, it's just too... It's too much. And they're going to do the same thing to Instagram.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
It's already happened. Like, I look at... When you look at, like, how Dwell uses Instagram now or any of, like, the really prominent design...
It's all about the feed, right?
It's all about... I mean, it's just... It's incredible because, like, on top of posting multiple times a day.
It's obnoxious.
They've got articles that you can like tune into, and then they've got
it's
TV
insane.
And then they've got stories, and they've got multiple stories. Like, do you realize how many people it would take to operate Dwell's social media?
When I just even think about the effort that goes into social media, like on a more economic, like
it's not even reasonable because there's
insane.
No monetizable thing to it. You know, like it draws.
I mean,
people
it is
to
though. It is really effective.
Dwell's a magazine
because people are addicted to using it, so it is a really effective way to like reach people. But still, it's just like when you think about the amount of engagement on a daily basis, like it's kind of fucking crazy.
It's kind of sad. It's crazy because all of the places and all of the things that are featured there are snapshots of real life. And instead of those real life things happening,
right,
we're spending our time looking at the pictures of them happening. And it's crazy. See you, Colton. Have a good weekend, man.
Bye, Colton. If you want to come to the gym, you should come.
Oh, wow. Planet Granite or bust.
I'll have it done before Monday.
Cool. Yeah. Firing up some copper this weekend.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that shit makes me sad. I can't.
Bums me out too. And like
I
Instagram.
I can't engage.
Did you just opted out?
Well, yeah. I mean, I deleted Facebook years ago, probably in college. And then Instagram, I deleted like my own personal like stuff maybe a year or two ago now.
Oh, wow.
And then my dog Koba has an account.
Mm-hmm.
But I deleted my app like a few months ago and
I haven't
really looked at it since. And it's funny because I have to download it every Tuesday to like post the stream. So I'll like download it, log into Mirai, post the asset, and then delete it from my phone again. It's so funny.
That's hilarious. But I didn't know that was the way you rolled.
That's what
I
started
doing. Did you delete
it
because you were looking at it so much and you're like, I gotta disconnect?
It's just this insidious thing. I wasn't like out of control. I know some people who like, yeah, literally can't not look at their phones. But you know me. I mean, I never have my phone. I'm like, almost unreachable.
Right.
So
good for you.
Well, it's good and bad. It's kind of not cool that like I'm really terrible at texting people back.
I disagree.
But yeah. But anyway, so I'm not a huge phone user anyway, but I just like would find myself. And I mean, Koba's account only follows dogs,
right.
So it's pretty cheery feed. Mm-hmm. You know, like
it's just like puppies,
which I
pony.
Had to do because I had to delete my personal one because I was following all these yoga accounts, and like it's just like, oh god, it just makes you feel sick because, you know, everyone knows why.
I do.
So then I was like, hey, I'll just have my dog one and I'll only follow dogs, so it'll be this like positive, like I can never get pissed looking at puppies, right? But then it just like, it becomes this way to numb. And I would find myself like, just like in those moments when it just like becomes this like habitual, like way to just like check out of the moment. Like, you know, you think about it every time you go to the bathroom, you like pull up Instagram and like scroll on your feed for 30 seconds or whatever. Every time you have a minute, like space to just like, it's the first thing you do. You're waiting for your pizza. You're like in the fucking car looking at your Instagram feed, like because you're bored of like this present existence where like life is happening.
Yeah.
And it just like becomes this nervous tick that you like, maybe you're uncomfortable and you're procrastinating. So you'll like check your feed like 5 times. Then you'll be like, what the fuck am I doing? I just wasted like 20 minutes like doing just being anxious. And like, since I'm like anxious and instead of just like sitting with that or like noticing that, I'll just like check social media.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it anymore because I just saw that as like, that was like the habit. That was like my habit, right? It's just like a way to numb.
That.
And I was just like, I just can't. So, yeah.
I feel that. You know, one thing I've noticed, like my creativity is directly associated with like being quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have all of those other stimuli, like I never, ever since I would say the start of Mariah Live, because I don't have a lot of weekends free, which like most people's quiet time is the weekends, you know, and stuff, like I don't ever get that like isolated time where I just get to, you really have to purge and like clean out your mind space as well, right?
Definitely.
You got to empty it, you got to let all of the crappy thoughts funnel and cycle through to get all the garbage out and come back to some level of clarity, and that freedom for me breeds creativity.
Oh yeah.
You know, when it's like, okay, I've just felt all the bad feelings that have accumulated over the past week.
Yeah.
Like I've,
or we get so revved up, you know, because we don't take a moment to like notice that, like, you'll just be like, you know, like, and your body's like tense, and you'll like move through your day because, you know, oh, like I woke up late and fuck, I had to like, I gotta like rush to get here. And then I'm in the car for 45 minutes and then I'm like, I'm at work. And when you're at work, you're just kind of like, ugh, like you're like waiting for, to go home and you're just like working until you go home. And then you drive home and you're all stressed and you're like, oh, I gotta get my exercise in. I gotta go to the grocery store. I gotta do all the things to like stay human. And then you just like, you realize that you're just like, wow, like I haven't like even taken a minute to even like register like where I am today, you know? And you, I think we just like start like vibrating at like these high levels because we're just, it's hard to like work and live and like try to take care of yourself. It takes so much time. You know? And then when you do like have a moment, you're just like, whoa, like I'm like,
When all
I have too much going on.
When
you know?
All that comes rushing
when you like
back
actually
in,
stop, you're just like, Jesus.
It literally
I didn't
feels
realize
like
how anxious I was or whatever else is going on. You like don't realize it because busyness is like a feel like it's a way to numb too.
I for sure.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. It's a really unfortunate. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people have talked about where we're at right now with like technology providing this 24/7 stimulation, that we're at a new phase of evolution as humans. Like our mind really isn't geared for this kind of stimulation.
A new phase in like a way that it's moving us forward or taking us back?
Well, I think like evolution or adaptation comes with the confrontation of stressors.
Right.
You know, and it's like you can see it in the younger generations. Kids are so intuitively using technology at a younger and younger age. Technology's evolving to be very intuitive to the young mind. It's I mean, it's like crazy. You look at a four-year-old.
We're evolving to like meld into this like super humanoid where we're like really enmeshed with machines. Like, could you imagine not, like, we can't exist without machines anymore.
I think we need to learn to disconnect.
Think about it. I mean, we literally,
I think that's
going
to be a new level.
I mean, but people keep saying that, like, we need to learn to disconnect, yet we keep moving forward faster and more aggressively.
I mean, in a way, you could argue that, like, the machines are supplementing our capacity to like be intelligent and like utilize, you know, tools and resources. So in a way it is evolution, sort of like if you believe evolution sort of progresses like in a linear way, it doesn't necessarily have to. But like you could also argue that like we're just giving our intelligence to the machines and we're just letting them sort of figure everything out. And we don't really have to use our computational wiring anymore because they're going to do it.
Right.
And that's really interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah. The adaptation to the environment is,
I think about this all the time. And like, what if like, I mean, we think of machines as being so inorganic, but I mean, you know, they're made out of the same elements that are on this earth.
Yeah.
And you know, like just because their programming is, you know, a one and a zero instead of like a collection of letters, like it's, who's to say that that's any different than our sort of like, you know, genomic makeup. And,
oh,
and so
sure.
maybe that is just, it's evolution, but it's on a new, it's like using new elements and it's going into like a new way.
Well, in line, when you were saying the other day, like we are electricity, like we're made up of
atoms, circuits.
And we're electrical circuits. Like when you start going down that route of thinking, it's like, oh yeah, maybe.
Exactly. Once you really think about it and once you like learn more about how, like you're just like, oh, we're just the same, but we think somehow
we
tie life, you know, carbon-based stuff, like, or whatever you want to call life. But usually, like, why is that the way that it has to be? Like, life could, it really interests me just because of the machines aren't, they're, you know, they're just because the evolution is happening in a way that we think that we're like in control of, but like, you know, creatures are like evolve based on their relationships with other creatures all the time.
Sure.
Right. I mean,
sure.
Think about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I think like, and even in the, like, even in the discussion of like, are plants intelligent, you know, and can plants think and stuff. And we have quantified the way that we think as being the definition of intelligence. But then I think there's a lot of people that are looking at it now and saying, well, this living thing is adapting to its environment and performing based on stimuli in a way that may not be congruent with what we quantify intelligence to be and the way that we consider ourselves intelligent.
Right.
But there's a lot of arguments to be made that they're actually maybe a higher level of intelligence. They've been here longer. They've adapted for a much more prolonged period of time. Like they continue to shift and create systems, whether it's the microbial highways that connect them. You know, it's a, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, the Paul Stamets podcast on that that Joe Rogan did blew my mind, where he basically made the pitch that, you know, beneficial fungi or fungi in general are actually the ones that are dictating the world.
Oh, right. This is the mycologist.
The mycologist. And it was just like, holy shit, you know, because the intelligence that this microbial system has is far beyond what we were able to conceptualize in terms of organization, and really sets the tone for what grows, what survives, what food is produced, what eats. You know, it's like the flora, fauna is all dictated by occupation of this and the condition that it creates. I was just like listening to that. I was just
in those sorts of awarenesses is like, it's just so important, because you just realize that, like, it's like, we don't run this planet.
Well, in the,
you know,
but we can destroy
and we're so dependent on all of these other systems that like we think that is probably, you know, not alive, but it is.
Right. Well, alive,
and it's so much bigger than us and so much more ancient, you know.
Oh yeah. 1/3 of the soil mass on Earth is actually fungal.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, it's just like, oh my gosh, yeah. And it's interesting how quickly we can destroy it, though. As human beings, you know, it's interesting how we can change that ecosystem. Like, we've developed the capacity to be able to change it.
Definitely.
For the sudden hive collapse and all of the issues with honeybees, you know, population shrinking and die. It's like you can draw direct correlations to oh, Koba. Oh, hi.
Oh, Koba's got to go patrol.
Koba's, and maybe there's a deer. Go get him. Go get him, Koba. Yeah, it's really, it's pretty interesting.
It's pretty humbling when you start to think about that sort of stuff, I think.
But I mean, you're really moving into digital design as sort of your next...
Programming.
I mean, so you're headed towards the...
I know.
You're headed towards the, whatever you want to call it, darkness, light, whatever...
It's not the darkness. I think it's like the inevitable. It's the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you feel good about it? I mean, because like it's kind of like counterintuitive to what you're saying for how you feel about that ability to sort of tune out. You feel like you can strike a balance with that, or
I don't think it's about tuning out. I mean, I think like technology can allow us to like live more efficiently and like. If we mindfully engage with it, it's incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to help humans evolve, you know, and like into what, I don't know, but it's just like, I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. You feel like,
but it also can be negative, like anything, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Too much of it.
Things like social media. That's not, you know, that's pretty
vapid
surface.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, it's about like social engagement and stuff, but you know, other types of technology and just those solutions they can provide is just really cool.
That's interesting. Are you excited about heading down that sort of that avenue?
Yeah, I'm fucking obsessed. I'm obsessed with it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. It's like this whole world. Like, that's what I mean by, it's obviously not tangible in the same way that our like physical planet is, but like it is, it's this whole world that exists that like we can tap into. And it's just so strange and it's so massive. There's so much information.
It is massive.
There's so much information. Yeah. Like you can't even comprehend it.
You feed on that kind of information though. Yeah. Would you consider yourself insatiably hungry for knowledge?
Yeah, I guess. I never really thought about it like that, but yeah, I think I like understanding how things work and like why. And then I think when that feeling you get when you learn something and you realize, oh my gosh, like I've just scratched the surface. Like I literally have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that's a feeling that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that feeling of expansion, like where you're just like, you finally get like a flashlight and you see like this certain portion of something. And then you're just like, wow, like I'm in like a giant canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you just feel, I think it's a good thing. It kind of grounds you and it just puts you in a way where you're just like, I'm just not that important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah,
which is, I think, a good reminder.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you still practice yoga as much as you used to?
Yeah, probably not as frequently as I used to, but it's definitely like a part of my life still. Mm-hmm. And just because like physical asana, like really intense asana, isn't like what I'm doing daily anymore. I mean, I still practice, but it's just not like as intense as it used to be, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
In terms of like the advanced poses. But I think it's like a lifestyle thing too. You know, it's so much greater than just the asana.
What changed, or what made you go in a less intense direct? Because there for a while you were going.
Yeah, I got into climbing.
Did climbing?
I just started bouldering
that?
And was like, oh my gosh. No, I mean, I always seek to do more yoga because I do miss it. But I think in a way is kind of interesting, and I haven't really thought about this until now. But climbing is very competitive.
And Zen.
Yeah, but you're also competing with yourself, right? Yeah, you're like, fuck, I want to get to the top of that fucking boulder. Like, why can't I do it? It's just that move, right? And you're just like, you seek to get to the top. Yeah. That is the point of climbing, is you're getting to the top of something. So in a way, that's inherently competitive and linear. Yoga, while people may treat it like that, that's not the intention behind it. It just is, you mm-hmm. know, it just, there's not like, there shouldn't be, although that's something you really wrestle with in your ego, but like, you shouldn't be like seeking to move towards something, a goal. Whereas like in climbing, you really do. So in a way, it kind of fixes my like yearning to like have that part of myself that really wants to like be competitive and like get stuff done and get to the top and like you know, achieve, you know, a grade or whatever. Right. That gets really satisfied by climbing. But I think like before I was maybe applying that to yoga and whereas, you know, you can still practice yoga and practice asana and not do like just the crazy shit, and it's like it's almost even more beneficial because you're like, you're not treating it as this thing where you have to like advance. It's just like, I'm gonna use this as medicine and as like grounding and as like when I need to come home and like just like keep everything on an even keel. And it's almost like I can give myself more permission to do that because like the competitive side of myself is like satisfied by climbing.
Wow.
I have to say though, there are moments I use climbing as yoga. You nail a really...
Oh, that too. I mean, there's definitely a part of that.
Well, not even about getting to the top. You get a climb that you've done a lot that's really hard.
Yeah.
And you start to like the movement in which you
definitely.
Do to it. And it's not so much about finishing it.
There's a lot of similarities. Yeah. Like,
this great move. I really love the moment. I'm in there. I'm stretching. I'm moving.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
climbing is just about... And you have to be so mindful of your body when you're climbing, right? Like, you have to be aware of every, like, where your weight is being distributed and, you know, like, what
how
muscles
you move
you're
your
engaging,
weight.
Like, how you manipulate that to, like... So it is really
there
mindful,
is
and when you're
top,
when you
and
there's like an adrenaline thing, because when you're fucking terrified, like you're gonna be pretty focused, you know, like you're just like, fuck, I can't.
Either
fuck
that
this
or
up.
You're done. You get off. I'm too
or,
much.
Or you gotta like get in the shakes.
Knowing when to back away is a skill.
Yeah, I definitely.
Watching good climbers is beautiful.
Oh,
it really
gosh,
is.
It's like a beautiful
it really
dance.
It's really just
a dance.
It really is a dance. It's super beautiful.
It is
the most recent
amazing.
Real rock.
And I haven't seen it.
What's the girl, Margot Hayes?
So graceful.
Watching her climb.
I know.
Is
I want to rewatch
like,
that.
Just magic.
I grew up watching Lynn Hill climb all the time.
Lynn Hill was also
such a beast.
Just
you know,
such
I think
an
when I was in Joshua Tree looking at some of the problems she put up, I was just like, what the fuck?
You know, I think she's only like, I could be wrong, but I think Lynn Hill's only 5'1", too. She's really short and just amazing movement. And because she's short, she gets even more fluid and her movement gets even better.
I mean, it's amazing. And it's also amazing to see how, whether it's yoga or whether it's climbing or, you know, some athletics, like that's one thing about mixed martial arts that I really enjoy. Like, I'm not a big fan of Conor McGregor. I think the guy is kind of a douche.
I'm not a fan of stand-up.
Well, that's fine, but like when you watch somebody who's truly...
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Well, okay. But when you watch somebody who's truly proficient at what they do, the way that they generally, right? There's always exceptions where it's like some herky-jerky weird motion is like successful for somebody who figures out how to use their body in that way. But when you watch truly proficient people do what they do well, a lot of times they've figured out the most efficient, beautiful, short, graceful motion to achieve those things. And, you know, watching him fight is like that. Watching Margot climb is like that. you know, watching LeBron James play basketball is like that.
Definitely.
Like, it's so magical to watch people have an action, motion, or intention so ingrained that it becomes a part of them. That movement is intuitive. Their body does it naturally. You know, like, and I, even in bonsai, like, I can always feel in myself, like, when you hit that stride, like, the amount of motion that I have to put into every action shrinks.
Watching you wire is like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and that's where wiring for me becomes very meditative, because it's like it just becomes this constant flow, you know, like you get into this rhythm, like you apply one wire, you apply another wire, your scissors come out, you clip here, you adjust, you get the next piece of wire, it goes on, it clip, adjust, you know, it becomes just this sort of like repetitive motion.
No, I definitely sense that when I wired out the store.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You're watching,
well, you like, you're so focused in it, and you're just like, where am I gonna go and what's coming up? And then you're like, hey, I gotta, and then you just like, you look to the next thing and you're like, hey, I gotta do this one. I gotta think three steps down, but I'm also like, oh, maybe that wasn't the right step. Like, it's just like all those decisions, and they're so, and you're so like tuned into something so like small that like, it kind of,
the
but it does,
sort of,
it requires so much focus. It's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How much?
It's really,
because
beautiful.
It also is really tactile, and like, you have to move your body in these weird ways, and you have to be really mindful of how much pressure you're applying to, like, it is, it's in the same way. It's like, but just with like your hands, kind of like climbing or yoga, where you're just like, you're fully immersed in this movement and this engagement with something, whether that's breathing or rock or trees, you know.
Watching you wire is kind of like watching a climber climb sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes when you get into it and you get going really fast, I'm like, whoa. You're so proficient at doing it.
Yeah.
And you've learned the easiest ways to get it done and the most efficient with the least amount of energy.
Right.
And it's amazing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. I really enjoy that. And I think too, like, one of the things about yoga that I always found to be so beneficial is with bonsai, you're always engaging just your fingertips. And like, when you do yoga, like, sort of the contact of your entire hand on the ground, that's the thing that I'm most aware of in yoga.
Oh, that's interesting.
The contact.
Probably because you use your hand so much.
Well, I use my hand so much, but I use very specific
just
parts of my hand. Yeah, exactly. And there's like the way that the tools work.
Honestly like the last thing that people notice, I think, when they're learning is like their feet and their hands.
Oh, it's like.
Because it's, you just like, there's so many other, you're like, oh, my hips are tight, oh, my hamstrings, you know. But then, like, it's like the full, you, to get to your hands, you have to think about sort of all your other areas. And that's the first. You never think about how your feet feel on the ground, right? But they're there and they're always like sensing stuff all the time.
Right.
When you actually realize it, you're like,
it's your biggest sensory organ. Like, when we put shoes on our feet, a lot of the discussion around shoes is that we've lost our biggest sensory
organ.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Which is really interesting to take in that information. Like, just going barefoot, most of us are so not capable of doing that now because our feet are so weak from shoes and stuff. But like with yoga, like, I actually find my whole hand being on the mat in yoga as being the biggest relief point. Like, I feel all of the tension released at that point. It's not in like the stretch of my muscles, although that comes like later, particularly in the twisting. But that is just like all of a sudden that connection point
of
my total hand is like the most valuable part.
That's usually
part
like
of it.
What people hate.
Ugh,
is that feeling.
Feels so good.
And like people, you usually like kind of end up just like sinking into your wrists and not really distributing your weight across your hands.
Yeah.
But that does feel really good.
It feels so good. Yeah. And your feet and your toes and just like all those points of contact. Because you don't think about it. Most of your day is spent not thinking about your two biggest sensory organs, your feet and your hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could say like visually. And I think like one of the things that is really hard about technology is I don't know that our eyes are supposed to take in and process as much as they're having to process with the digital screen.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's going to improve.
Think so?
Yes.
I mean, because like the release of serotonin that is linked with your interaction with the digital screen is a real thing. It's like part of the addiction of it, right? And it's just like our eyes were not really, they haven't evolved to be able to process that and have that not be unhealthy.
Yeah, my eyes have definitely gotten worse in the time I've worked
here. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Definitely.
Wow.
So much screen time.
Wow. And you're headed for more.
Yeah, just more. Way
just,
more.
Just give me more.
I mean, I just go home and do
screen.
More.
Screen.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's not my favorite thing.
Yeah, yeah. And my uncle is a really avid fly tyer. He fly fishes all over the world. And whenever he's getting ready for like a big trip to like Belize or something where he's going to be saltwater fly fishing, he'll tie like 2,000 or 3,000 flies. And he'll sit down and just binge on fly tying for like 3 or 4 weeks straight. And he'll have a TV on because periodically he has to look up and let his eyes recalibrate from being so focused on these tiny little flies with like the thread and the hackles and the fat, you know, like every part of the fly. And I just always thought that was so interesting, like him engaging with...
It's like strain, eye strain.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just thought it was really interesting. I mean, like looking at bonsai can be that same... You know, like all the textures of the foliage mass and you're looking through it constantly to be wiring.
Yeah, you probably just like if you get tired or if you do it too much, you're just like, oh my gosh, it all looks the same.
And I almost wonder if, you know, if like the eye strain or like when you talk about training a muscle, like the durability of your eyes is a big part of like when I started my apprenticeship, I could maybe wire a tree for 5 minutes at a time. Before my mind would start wandering and I would be like,
I wonder how our eyes have adapted to so much screen time. Cause you know, they've definitely changed.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just get worse.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're
like, oh, we don't have to be as bright cause you just stare at bright screens all day.
Totally. Or maybe we don't need to worry about distance anymore. So we're just going to discard of that and focus on this muscle.
My night vision has gotten really bad.
Huh?
That's probably the worst part.
Yeah.
While you're driving?
Always, just from the more I've used computers and screens in front of me, the worse my night vision gets.
I can see that.
I can see it because your eyes are adapting to so much brightness constantly that when it's time to take in more light and be able to visually take in information where there's less light, that it would make sense that that muscle is not...
You go in the mountains
not been worked.
The phone doesn't work, so you don't even look at it for a few days, and all of a sudden... Night vision starts coming back.
Oh,
a couple
yeah.
days in, I can start seeing better at night.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, also when you're in the mountains, you don't have like a bunch of bright lights around.
That too is wonderful.
So that really helps.
Yeah.
That's one thing about being at Moriah at night that I really value is the lack of illumination.
Ugh. Yeah, that does feel really nice. I like that when go camping and
it
stuff.
It is real up here.
It is real, yeah. There's a lot of good stars. And
yeah.
What is it like for you growing up in the mountains and like living in Portland in the city, like just kind of going back to all the stimuli. I mean, you live above a music venue.
I hate it.
Do you really?
It drives me insane.
Would you rather live out of the city?
Definitely.
Really?
The less people, the better.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too much.
And you're thinking about Missoula?
Mm-hmm. Or Bend. Or Bozeman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you like Bend when you went last weekend?
It was really fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Boulder, but like not blasted.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. I mean, yeah, but it's definitely more busy than definitely more busy than Missoula.
Bozeman is awesome.
Yeah. Bozeman's okay.
I love Bozeman.
I would live there. Missoula is better, but
A little rednecky maybe. Would Bozeman do
I
redneck?
Really like
There's
Bozeman.
Definitely a cowboy vibe. It doesn't have the same community feeling as Missoula does, but the mountains and the weather are better.
I'm not hating on Montana or rednecks, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there.
I
think Montana is amazing.
Yeah, and I love Bozeman.
Montana is so sweet.
But if I had to pick the two, I'd pick Bozeman.
What is it about
Montana? Maybe it's just about, like, because maybe you spent more time there.
I've spent a lot of time there hanging out.
Breaking through. What is it about Montana that you love so much?
There's just no one there.
So it literally is just the vacancy of people. So why not like Cheyenne, Wyoming, like or...
Well, and it's just really beautiful and wild, and it's not...
dry. God, it's dry.
Yeah, but I like that.
You like dry?
Yes.
So living in the Pacific Northwest where it's wet, are you just like, I'm over this?
I don't notice it that much until I go like back to Colorado. But I mean, the rain and the lack of like alpine environment kills me. Yeah.
You love the alpine?
Yes.
You think that's because that's where you grew up and what's familiar to you?
Probably. And I just think it's superior. I mean, you know?
I agree. 120% I agree. Like, if you're going to send me to the ocean or to the Alpine, I'll take the Alpine
Definitely.
Any day.
Yeah.
It's why I don't get beach vacations.
Yeah.
I don't get beach. Like, I understand the ocean. Like, it's big. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's mad majestic and, like, overwhelming. And I'm cool with that. Like, send me to the Alpine every day.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
We hiked up in near the South Sister last weekend in Bend or near Bend. And... Yeah, it's cool Ben can, like, you don't have to go that far to get, like, out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not super.
Did you guys go to the peak? Did you summit?
No. No, I had Cobes and I had my Chacos on, so.
Mm.
That's pretty country over there.
Yeah, no, it really is.
I've never even.
But
been
it's
to
still
Bend.
Like it's like that's okay in change. Oregon. Yeah. People call them mountains. Like they're like, oh yeah, like people. I think in Oregon would probably consider Bend to be like a mountain being
oh,
near the mountains.
Oh, I think they
mountains,
do.
Right?
I think they
yeah.
do.
Yeah. It's
okay.
mountainous.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like.
So about that.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like mountains in Oregon are just like a string of volcanoes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that's not a mountain.
mm-hmm.
Those aren't the mountains. You're not in the mountains. You're near some volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know.
I feel
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
I feel like, that. I feel that. Well, I feel that discretionary.
Yeah.
Sort of analysis.
That's kind of what Bend feels like to me. Like I'm like, yeah. That, and that's what I like about like Montana is like, oh no, like you're in the mountains.
Right. We call them mountains.
Same in,
now?
Same in Colorado. Like you're in the mountains. You're in like the mountains.
You're in the Rockies.
Right.
In both places.
Yep.
I feel like that in the Sierras too. I mean,
definitely.
I've spoken
yeah.
a lot about the Sierras
definitely.
Feeling a lot more home to me than the Rockies.
I would need to spend more time there.
You know,
I
the Sierras
go.
Are like
I agree.
The
I'm gonna go to Bishop in October.
The yeah. Sierras to me are just I think I'm more attracted to the rockiness of the Sierras,
mm-hmm.
which I just thought it was so funny. The first time I went to the Sierras, I was like, you know that scene in Dumb and Dumber where Jim Carrey's like, I thought that John Denver
yeah,
was full
Rocky
of shit.
Rocky be a little rockier than this.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt when I went to the Sierras. I was like, wait, somebody got confused. Like these are Sierras, but really these are far more rocky than any mountain I've ever been in. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in. The granite is so beautiful.
Yeah.
The lakes are so crystal clear and clean.
Mm.
There's not all, like, the organic debris decomposing in them that you get in the Rockies.
The Rockies is just, like, a bunch of choss piles.
It is. It's one big yeah. choss pile. Like
it's just, like, a, yeah.
It's hard to find solid
range.
Rock. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's like, a lot more moisture in the Sierras. A lot more moisture.
Is there?
Yeah. It's the wettest mountain range we have. The highest amount of water.
I feel like the Cascades
down.
Are probably
like the Cascades
more wet,
would
no,
take
no.
The
wet than that.
The Sierras crush them.
I don't believe that.
The wettest mountain range in the United States.
Boy, I feel...
Go look
I
it
mean,
up.
I don't believe that.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's an elevation catch to that,
it's,
to that,
because
that figure.
The weather comes off the coast, and the first place it gets its first high lift up to 14
well,
plus
Well, the Cascades
thousand,
is the same.
It dumps it right there. Well, it's not up that high, though. It doesn't go high
so
enough.
So it is an elevation catch.
Yeah. It
oh,
causes
okay.
all the... That rise in the cumulus clouds causes them to dump their moisture right away and have to pick it back up.
I mean, the Sierras are intense for like, I mean, the Donner Party would be your classic example
think,
of
yeah,
just where,
wasn't
ridiculous.
30 feet of snow, I think they had a dumping on
well,
them.
Well, Mount Baker has the most snow. It gets the most snow per season, I
Baker
think.
Is Washington?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh,
it's Baker. Yeah, up in Bellingham.
Yeah, Bellingham.
Gets the most snow.
Maybe over the thing, they don't get the dumps. Like, I've been in Tahoe when we got 15 feet in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, I just think, like, over, like, cumulatively, like, season mm-hmm. after season, it, like, gets the most snow, like, out of any other ski area
yeah,
in
Baker,
the United
yeah.
States, I think.
I've heard that, too. It is interesting, though. My roommates in college were on the Cal Poly ski team, which is hilarious that a coastal college had a ski team, but they would go up to Mammoth. And they got stranded in Mammoth like 2 or 3 straight years because of 10
snow.
Plus feet
yeah.
of snow in
wow.
24 hours. Oh. And I've never been trapped in that, but I would like to experience that. Like
but
as long
as
you're like
Mammoth
safe
would
and
almost
everything.
Be in the dry shadow.
Oh, Mammoth gets nailed.
Mammoth gets
oh,
hammered.
It's so wonderful. And
hammered.
It's a thicker snow though. It's kind of wet, but man, that mountain's fun to play
right.
on. And when you do get hammered in, some of the streets are, they've got them heated, so you get the, they don't, you can get around and still get to the mountain. There's
right.
still spots you can get to that I can ride on.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to worry about trees and snow, I could really enjoy snow. But I don't enjoy snow here at Mariah
at all.
Oh, man,
that would be terrifying.
It's
scary.
Snow here is such a
stressful.
Nightmare. I moved yeah. here to actually get away from snow.
Right.
And to be able to do bonsai.
That's another thing I miss. I'm like, dude, give me like a snowy winter, please.
Yeah. 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 I feel that.
Anything but rain.
Yeah. I feel that. There are some magical snowy.
Some people in Portland are like, it doesn't rain here that much. I'm like.
You're crack.
You're insane.
Did you come here in the summer and leave before the winter?
Yeah. You're insane.
Well, our total rainfall, the amount of inches we get per year, is actually pretty low. We just
yeah,
get a lot of it.
Yeah, but it's just dark for
misty.
Like 7 months.
Just gets the mist a lot.
Yeah, the real like rain really yeah. doesn't happen in the Pacific Northwest. It's a steady drizzle. Yeah, what it's like, we get like 39 on a heavy year, 42 inches of rain.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the amount.
That's
it's more
less
just
than
like
coastal
the,
California
the gloom.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, the gray is rough. Seattle would be even worse.
Just the perpetual drizzle.
Seattle's even worse.
Is it?
Yeah, because you get the whole impact of the Puget Sound and the marine layer.
I mean, I think everything up there is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Totally.
Everything in Washington on is just it gets so socked in.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Vancouver.
It's no. But I mean, have you ever been east of the Cascades in Washington into
Leavenworth,
the farm country out there?
Oh, well, Leavenworth's kind of on,
the
almost,
gorge.
Almost
amphitheater's out that way.
Well,
I've driven through Spokane there and Yakima. And
I personally think Spokane's pretty magical. I know a lot. See, yeah, but I've had nothing but good experiences in Spokane.
I'm pretty neutral on it. I've used the airport a few times, and
Have driven through Spokane.
Well, it's right near Missoula.
Coeur d'Alene's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Walla Walla out there in that dry, just that
I've
dry grassland.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's interesting that the dry with the mountains appeals to you, but the dry just as flat rolling.
I don't know. I would live in a desert. I would live in Arizona.
Could you do a desert?
Definitely.
I could
live in Utah. Definitely.
Desert is off of my list of places that I could go.
I love deserts. They're
Why?
So sick.
They're so functionless.
Bishop
That's
Desert.
Not true.
I could do Bishop Desert.
I could totally live in Bishop. I'm just I don't know what I would do for work. I don't think they need
nothing is what
programmers.
Is the answer to that. Nothing. Well, I mean, you could go sit at a coffee shop and
I could get
program.
Freelance work in San Francisco and live in Bishop possibly.
I mean,
yeah, there's
but
a lot of people that
just work
live
remote.
You can't
something.
Even. It's like, oh, there's so much to do. You can climb. You could go outdoors. It's like, yeah. You're going to go, you have to let the rock cool off before you can ever climb on it.
No, Bishop is so sick. It's so sick. You can climb all the time there. You just go higher in the Sierras in the summer. And
yeah, you go
I
to
mean,
the
it's,
buttermilks.
It's a mecca.
I mean, I think Bishop is great. I'm not hating on Bishop. I love Bishop as a town. And it's
I thought you were hating.
Right. No, I'm not hating on Bishop. I think Bishop is tight.
Yeah.
And being close
to
the
bristle cones. No, it actually
was
one of my,
striking distance.
It was one of my towns that I was like, should that be on the list?
We would be watching Kindle and Real Rock videos in the future.
Yeah, dude.
Bishop.
I'm not done. That'd
basically
be awesome,
be
like,
man.
And then I was like,
Margo
oh, wait,
Hayes.
I should probably work on my career a little bit more before I go to a town where there's just nothing there.
Margo Hayes just got usurped by Kendall Strawman.
No, definitely not.
That would be pretty intense. I could see that happening.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't climb that hard at all. I don't think I ever will.
Not yet.
Yeah, you never know.
It's too easy to get hurt, man. It's crazy. It's crazy how easy it is.
Do you think climbers have a higher pain threshold than most people?
Yeah.
Really? You become
same as being a ballerina. You just
you come adapt to certain pains.
Mm. Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is gonna hurt. I'm just used to it.
Right.
But
that's interesting.
Still, when you break a bone, it's still or twist an ankle.
Yeah.
Like,
or
oh,
just
my God,
finger
dude.
Pain.
Yeah.
Your finger pain. That's what it is.
Crack
your
climbing.
Fingers and your toes.
Crack climbing is living hell.
When's the last time you've had a really gnarly raspberry? Where you just got the surface skin shaved off and it's just that stinging, burning.
Probably in Leavenworth, falling and scraping my...
So prior to climbing, when would you say
climbing.
The last time was? Right?
Maybe when I got drunk and fell on the sidewalk
okay.
or something.
Okay, fair
that's
enough.
That's fair.
That's probably... That's the only thing that would scrape me now.
I can't remember the last
climbing.
Raspberry. When you're a kid,
my drinking escapades.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you have constant raspberries. You just
it's
have
true.
These really
that
shallow scabs all over your skin from scraping off your skin. And then you get to this point. I can't remember the last time I hit a funny bone.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Do you really? I don't. I almost got to the point where I don't know if my funny bone still exists.
Yeah.
Does it ever go away? Do you ever lose your funny bone?
No. You'll know it. It'll happen again sometime, and you'll be like, fuck.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm talking
but
10,
I think some
10
people
plus
are,
years.
Some people are more sensitive maybe to it.
I think I hit my funny bone when we started this podcast. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it happens
man.
To me all the time, but I'm pretty, I can, I bump into things.
Yeah, same here. I slam into things.
Yeah.
I banged my hand
the
before
scar
the
on
Q&A
my
on Thursday, and my whole hand went numb. And I haven't experienced that in a decade.
That's a funny bone, dude. That's what happens when you hit a funny bone. You go numb.
Well, I mean, I remember. Yeah, I was just refreshed to the fact that wow, I haven't had a funny bone incident.
Oh, so
in a
you did have
time.
One? It's just been years.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
The funny bone I thought was kind of in your arm.
I think
elbow.
That they're everywhere.
Oh,
I thought it was the elbow.
I
think it is your elbow, but I've experienced it in other places too.
When it happened in my hand, I was just like, "God, this is unpleasant," because it's just my hand didn't work for a while, and I was just like,
right.
"God, it's so weird."
It's crazy. Crazy, man.
It is crazy. Are you trying to get out of here?
Yeah, I gotta go climb. Is it time?
Gonna go climb?
Gotta go meet some
gonna
people.
Gonna go Hulk out?
Yep. I'm gonna go just like get that. Scream on some...
Do you scream? Do people scream in Planet Granite?
I don't scream. I feel like if I'm working that hard, like I probably shouldn't be on the problem. You know what I mean?
Isn't it, like, are there people in there that are just like...
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, people are, yeah, there's, it's a lot, it's lots of different people. It's a lot, I'm of, a lot, loud of, lot of dudes like trying to.
I'm a loud climber.
Is that be a bit intense. Of a, is Planet Greta a bit of a meat market?
There's a lot of ladies too. I'd say mostly on routes, like you'd find ladies. There's not as many ladies that are like bouldering.
But are there like people just in there straight up flexing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any place where there's like competition.
I don't know, not like strength gym involved.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like you'd go different. To some gyms where it's just like, oh, wow. Okay,
it's not like that. No. Everyone's, it's pretty chill. I mean, the climbing crowd, you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
can be, it's usually good people.
Going
but
to the
there's
real-
definitely some people who like are, yeah, like who climb with their ego and it's pretty intense. It's pretty funny to watch.
Climb with their ego and yeah. it's intense.
I try to hang out. I mean,
but I've here. Done that too. That's how I broke my leg. So
is it really? You're just going too hard.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, climbing stuff is too hard for me and just like not like, and just because I wanted to get to the top and then you just fall and hurt yourself.
And basically rip your foot off your leg.
Because you're just not respecting, you know, you're not respecting it.
Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. How's your foot doing?
It's okay. It's like.
You literally tore your foot off of your leg.
Yeah. I broke every bone in my lower leg.
Oh God.
The x-ray to that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
It was like
just like broken off.
It was literally broken
like my
off.
Foot was just like broken off.
When that happened, was your foot facing the wrong direction?
No one ever let me look at it because they didn't want me to go into shock. I mean, I was going into shock anyway, but they were like, people were like standing over me being like, it's okay. Like, it's not that bad. But when
did anybody
the,
take a picture
the,
of it?
No. When the like EMT got there, like they were just like, I knew it was bad, and they were just like, oh fuck, and they were like, we need Demerol and like or whatever. I don't know what they gave me.
Jeez.
So I knew once like everybody calmed me down, but then like when they came, because like you it hurts and then like your body, it's amazing, like your body just takes over. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and I remember just being like, okay, like I thought I could like walk out of there.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
I swear to God, like I thought I was fine, like I knew I was hurt, but like I like you just like your body, like the pain just like goes away because
you had a
like
huge adrenaline.
Exactly,
rush.
Exactly. And huge. So you're just like it hurts so much and then you're just like, what's going on? Like you're so alert. And
wow.
Then so I thought I was kind of like, oh, maybe it's not that bad, but then the EMT got there and then he was just like, oh fuck. So I knew from their reaction I knew that it was not good.
Did that
and
cause
then
you to
and
more
then they
panic?
Just kept giving me more like painkillers. And they were just like, I usually don't like promote like I like more, but they were just like, but like anything you need.
Wow. Wow. Whatever you want, it's totally justified.
And then they were like calling the emergency room and they like got me to the front. Like I didn't have to wait or anything because they were just like, no, like I don't think you understand. Like she needs like surgery right now.
Oh my God.
Compound
gosh.
Fracture. Yeah, they're concerned for blood circulation big time.
Yeah.
You got to get that in quick.
Yeah, it was a trimalleolar.
So it gives you
fracture.
Problems now still?
Yeah, well, I have a bunch of screws in there. I have a plate in there. I probably have like 7 screws and like a plate. And it's, yeah, I mean, I never got my full mobility back. I mean, my surgeon was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that when I got into the emergency room, everybody was just like, oh, you're so lucky that like he's on call because he's the best.
Wow.
But still, I mean, there's just a lot of hardware in there. And so like the inflammation never really went down.
Uh-huh.
So I know I don't have my full mobility and I can't like climbing doesn't bother me in yoga. Like since my ankle's not open anymore, like there's a lot of stuff that's limiting.
Mm.
I'm just fine. But running, I can't do that much anymore. It hurts a lot.
The pounding of running.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could strengthen it and like do PT, but I like a part of me is just like maybe I need to get the hardware out at some point.
Do they take it out?
They can if it's causing like problems like this.
Wow.
Because I didn't know, because yeah, if it was like related to my back pain too.
Does that set off alarms in the airport or anything like that?
I don't think now they have like the scanners. It's not like the metal mm-hmm. detectors necessarily anymore, but I think they're pretty used to seeing this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no,
I
asked my doctor that like after the surgery and they were just like, you're fine.
Okay.
Like, everybody's walking around with shit in them.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Dee's been good to rap.
Yeah, it has been fun. Thanks for
nice Friday cap to
Friday capper.
Friday capper to a pretty intense week.
Yeah, it was a really, really intense week.
Technology fails all over the
technology. Yeah, there's a lot of systems.
The wired world. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of a lot of screen time.
A lot of screen time.
Yeah.
Go get your Hulk on.
I will.
Sounds good.